all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Hi, I'm Rob West. Is that a passage where you look for a little wiggle room to rationalize that it can't mean exactly what it says? After all, what's the harm in a little grumbling? I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, first of all, there's no wiggle room here. In Philippians 2, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Not some things. That means when the boss piles on extra work or you get a flat tire, you're supposed to accept it without complaint. Pretty hard to do that, right? And Paul lumps disputing in with grumbling, seeing both of these sins as serious flaws that could destroy unity in the church. It's much more natural to complain about our spouses, children, and friends, our bosses, and elected leaders. We grumble because we can't find anything to wear in the closet stuffed with clothes or anything to eat in a fridge that's full of food. One of our favorite complaints is that we don't have enough money. You might think if you only had just a little more, your life would be so much better. You like to believe that, and sometimes you even say it out loud. No good ever comes from it. Instead of trying to earn more or spend less, you complain. And once you start, well, it's hard to stop. Grumbling begets more grumbling. It's important to understand what this is. It's actually rebellion against God and a form of blasphemy. Whenever you find fault with your boss, your bank account, or your spouse, you're really finding fault with God. He's the one who's given you those gifts, and your grumbling is discontent with His provision. It's also important to know that God does not view grumbling lightly. He even imposed the death penalty on Israelites who complained about being in the desert. In Numbers 21, the Lord sends a plague of serpents on the grumblers, and many died. Ultimately, a whole generation of them wasn't allowed to enter the Promised Land. If we looked at our carping and complaining from God's perspective, we would probably better understand the wrath He unleashed on the Israelites. He brought them out of slavery and provided for their every need in the desert. But showing an amazing lack of gratitude, they were soon complaining that life was better when they were slaves of the Egyptians. God has given us everything we need. And of course, the greatest gift is that of His Son on the cross for our salvation. Christ tore the veil that separated us from God, allowing us to commune with Him more fully. Because of Christ's sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. Our debt is canceled. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. How then do we live out the practical application of that relationship? Well, as Paul says in Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. We should be content because we know that anything we experience on earth is temporary, but that our life with Christ in heaven will be eternal. That contentment, when everyone else is grumbling, is a powerful witness for Christ. To find that contentment, we must focus on Christ and not ourselves. That's exactly what Paul did. He was shipwrecked, beaten, and ultimately martyred for proclaiming the gospel. In Philippians 4, 12 and 13, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. There are several barriers to finding the kind of contentment in Christ that Paul describes. One of the biggest is spiritual. We lack the understanding that God owns everything, including us, and that it's His decision what, when, and how He provides for us. It takes spiritual growth, discernment from the Holy Spirit to get that. Another barrier to contentment is cultural. We're constantly bombarded with messages of scarcity and materialism. Commercials tell us, you have it all. Bumper stickers proclaim, he who dies with the most toys wins. But wins what exactly? Certainly not contentment. Often the more stuff you have, the less content you are. Finally, there's also a personal barrier to contentment. We allow worldly influences to dictate whether we're satisfied with God's provision rather than Scripture, which repeatedly instructs us about the blessings of humility and contentment. So when you're tempted to grumble about your spouse, your job, your retirement account, or anything else, pray for a spirit of gratitude about what God has already given you. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Moses was a runaway. He was in hiding, and then the Lord burst into his life, that burning bush. It was the Lord calling Moses to redeem his people. The bush burned but wasn't consumed. The Lord's presence in our lives is constant, never fades. Through Jesus Christ, God came to dwell among us, showing us the way to abundant life and eternal salvation. He is the burning light that shines in the darkness and draws us to his redeeming love. As we turn to Christ, we can be aware of the Lord's presence in our lives. We can trust in his goodness and faithfulness. In him we find hope and peace, even in the midst of life's trials. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Infidelity can destroy a marriage, but it doesn't have to. On the next Focus on the Family, Mark and Jill Savage share how the Lord led them through the betrayal of infidelity and into a whole and healthy relationship that honors God. It's encouragement for wounded hearts next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're delighted to be coming to you today from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference in Orlando, Florida, but the same show. And so still an opportunity to engage with you and talk about how God is using your finances in your spiritual life and your financial life. We'd love to deal with those practical questions that you have today. And so we've got room for you at 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our role in managing God's money, we have to begin with the idea that God owns it all. That is the starting point for each of us, because that's a game changer. It really does change everything about how we handle God's money on a daily basis. Because when we recognize God's ownership, well, we then understand our role as stewards of God's resources, and then money becomes not an end, but a means to an end. It becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. The key is we want to hold it in such a way that we can use it for God's design. We got to look to Scripture and see what's in the Bible with regard to how we should handle money. The big themes, the big ideas around contentment and generosity and being able to use God's money to build relationships and not only provide for our families, but really participating in God's activity wherever he's at work. And then as it comes to those practical decisions that we make each day, we certainly want to pull out the big themes in Scripture and the passages that speak to every facet of our financial lives. Now, it can seem overwhelming at times to try to figure out all of the financial decisions we have to make. It seems like there's an unlimited number of choices, and yet they all fit into four big buckets, if you will. There's the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. So let's go back to the beginning. Live, that's our lifestyle. That's our spending plan. We've got to live on less than we earn. That's the key to every financial success. Then we've got to give generously because we recognize that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. You see, if money can compete with God for first position in our lives, one of the ways we really loosen that grip of money over our lives is to give it generously and participate in God's activity. Beyond that, we want to think about how we owe God's money, both specifically for debt and for taxes. Now, we recognize borrowing is not a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture, and so we need to be very careful about the use of debt. And there are some rules that perhaps we can get to a little later in the broadcast. And then, of course, paying our taxes. Jesus affirmed that idea. We don't want to pay more than we owe, but we do want to pay what we owe to the governing authorities. And we want to see that as symptomatic of God's provision. And then finally, there's live, give, owe, and grow. How do we grow God's money appropriately? How do we save in a way that doesn't cause us to try to become dependent on ourselves? We want to keep our trust squarely upon the Lord. But how do we save for the future? You remember Proverbs says there's precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So we want to be savers. And as we put all of that together and wrestle through it, I believe we can find God's heart for us. But it starts with the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, together on this program each day, we want to help you wrestle through the questions that you're dealing with in your financial life. And we've got some lines open. We're going to head to the phones. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Pennsylvania. Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. A little bit of background. My husband and I are young. I'm 24. He'll be 23 in July. And we are wondering if we should buy a house. We have some money saved up and a little bit set aside for retirement. We don't have any debt. And currently we're renting, but we're looking for a property with a little bit of land. So we're wondering if we should buy a house now so that we're not just renting for the next few years till we find a property, or if we should wait while the market does whatever it does, and hopefully maybe it calms down, so we find a house with the right qualities and the right amount of land.
Sure. Well, I love where you're headed with this. I mean, home values have moderated, Elizabeth, in many areas, but, we need to maybe focus first, though, on the bigger question, and that is, are you ready to buy? So let's kind of look at that for a moment. I think the first question would be around the down payment. How much have you all saved up that you could put toward the home purchase?
We were thinking $20,000.
$20,000. And how much were you looking to spend as you think about the home that would fit into your budget?
$250,000, maybe more. Doesn't buy you a lot.
Yeah. And have you begun looking around just in the area you'd like to buy to see what homes are available at that price level and whether it meets your desires?
Yes.
Okay. And then have you looked at the mortgage payment on that at the prevailing rates just to see how that would compare to what you're paying in rent?
Yeah. It's pretty comparable, it seems.
Okay. Yeah. So the rule of thumb on the down payment would be, I'd really love for you to have 20%. The challenge is that, you know, you're not quite there yet, because if we were to, you know, have 20% for a $250,000 home, that would be $50,000. So we're, you know, about, well, not even quite halfway there. The reason we'd like for you to have 20% is, first of all, it's going to give you some equity going in. So you're not going to be in a situation where if the housing market were to dip, you wouldn't be upside down. And then secondly, you're going to avoid that private mortgage insurance, which is about 1% of the mortgage value. Doesn't do anything for you. It's only for the lender, but it's just an unnecessary expense. And I think it just demonstrates kind of some financial health in a way that says we're ready to do this, given that this is a major transaction, probably the largest transaction you'll ever have. And then with the payment for the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, kind of a good rule of thumb is no more than 25% of your take-home pay. Now, I realize that can be challenging, especially with housing prices where they are, but that would give you at least a good starting point. The idea there is that that would give you 75% remaining for everything else. And that will go quickly, but we want you to stay in this really strong position that you've been in, where you don't have any debt, you're living below your means, you've got some margin, you can continue to save for retirement and then save for other things along the way. You know, God blesses you with kids, being able to save for college, being able to save to replace a car without taking on a big car note, things like that. And keeping that mortgage payment down around that 25%, certainly no more than 30% of your take-home pay, is really going to help you fit that into your budget alongside everything else. So I would say, you know, for me, it's not a matter of where is the housing market, because again, I think, you know, we've moved from clearly a seller's to a buyer's market. You know, folks were getting 20 and 30 offers in 24 to 48 hours when they were listing houses. And, you know, you couldn't think about putting any contingencies in there. You know, if you didn't pretty much have an all cash offer, it was often just completely overlooked. So we've moved away from that to a more reasonable market. But you know, I think the big idea is, are you guys ready? And for me, I'd rather you have that, you know, $50,000 before you go into your home purchase. You know, at the end of the day, you guys just need to pray and think about it and decide what's the right move for you. But if it were me, I'd keep renting and you all just keep living modestly and save as diligently as you can between now and when you make that purchase. We appreciate your call. Thanks for being on the program. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, broadcasting live from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference in Orlando, Florida. Delighted to have you with us today as we take your calls and questions on anything financial. The number is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to North Carolina. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead. Ann, are you with us? Oh, hi there. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I had a loved one. Well, she was like a godmother to me. And she told me on numerous times that she was going to put me in her will. And I was like, you know, I wasn't worried about that. And so as she got older, she told me she put me in her will. She didn't say what it was or anything like that. And then maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, she said, well, I got you in my will. She said, I went down to the court, over to the county, and it's over there registered. And she said, you want to see it? Go over there and look at it. And I didn't think, you know, nothing of it. I was more concerned about her and the families. We get along fine. And so she passed past December, and probably about 5 months before she got bad off, she told me again. And so so she passed, and then I did try to go, and before she passed, I did try to go to the court where she told me to go and look at it, but they would not let me see anything. They said that she had to come, or she had to write a letter or something saying that she gave me permission to look at it, the register deed, whatever she had over there for me. So I don't know. And my question is there any way whoever was in charge of that process, could they, like, I don't know, hide it from me, forge anything that was supposed to have been to me?
Yeah. And she did pass away. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, and normally, Ann, I'm a little surprised to hear what you're saying about the probate court, but normally you would contact the probate court in the county where the decedent lived, because a will is a part of the public record. So you can request to see it, without any question. If you find that you are in fact listed as a beneficiary, you would then contact the executor who would be named in the will. And that's the person who would be responsible for distributing the assets of the will. And you would want to make sure that that person has your contact information. And you would, of course, reach out to them at that point. So I would go back to the probate court in the county where she lived and just say, listen, I understand this is a part of the public record, and I need to know what the process is to request this will. This is, you know, wills are not private. It's, you know, for that reason, some folks will use a trust for their estate planning to keep their final wishes private. But a will is absolutely a part of the public record, and so you should be able to chase that down.
Okay, sounds good. I would do that. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Thanks for your call today, Ann. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. To Georgia we go. Hey, Mike, how can I help you?
Yes, yes, thank you. Yeah, I was blessed when I went through college. My major was law, and I had a minor in accounting, so I was an accountant. But I'm really distraught about whether or not to be in a field of earnings, which I think money. Unfortunately, my brother-in-law is a billionaire. All I want, basically, is to see the world gain. What has made me very unhappy was, of course, has been so bad on families. And I actually developed a calendar that could save everyone 26%. I don't want any money, and I don't want any recognition. But my question is, how can we get certain people that are in ministry, or should it be bad, that they have a desire to make money, which you have to have money in order to survive, I understand. But when it goes against your beliefs, should you maintain that that type of work? Let me give you an example. We have a senator in Georgia who is, makes $500,000 a year. He's a reverend, and he actually backs the Democrat Party that deals with abortion and all these LGBT things. And should I contribute to that or enable something like that when it goes against God's word?
Yeah, and Mike, are you specifically talking about what, paying of taxes in the state? Are you talking about investments in companies that might be misaligned with your values? When you talk about participating with those who might be operating in a way that's not consistent with Christian values, what specifically are you referring to?
Yes, yes, the latter. Yes, I'm a believer in Scripture where it says, I give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So I'm paying taxes, and I'm also paying the tenth, the tax that that goes towards the, you know, the church.
Yeah. So you're specifically talking about your investments.
Yeah, I mean, my area. Well, not really investments, but my work. I don't know if you know that democracy is widespread. It's, you know, we elected President Biden. And anybody that wants to associate with that, pretty much you have to live in an area which is democratic, which I do because I'm in North Georgia. Should I move in order to make money, in order to survive, which I only want to make the bare minimum? I mean, I really have that, but I don't know if I should stay, being that I'm around people that, you know, are enabling things like the LGBT, which goes against God's word and abortion. So I'm all for life. Should I be wrong?
Yeah, no, I'm following what you're saying. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. If you can hold the line, I'd love to weigh in on that and continue this conversation just as you think about how you earn money, how you participate, and how you can be salt and light where God has planted you. Let's pick that up just on the other side of this break. Mike, you stay right there, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Mike in Georgia, and he's wondering about just operating in a world that is conflicting with his values, both in terms of where he lives, some of the decisions that are being made by elected officials, and kind of where he's earning money. And I think, Mike, you know, as we back up and look at a biblical worldview of all of this, I mean, first of all, it's God who gives us the power to make wealth. That's clear in Scripture. Work was ordained by God. And so we realize that work is a part of God's plan. Adam and Eve were workers before the fall. And so work can be worship when we play to an audience of one. And so as long as you're doing meaningful work that's not, you know, do no harm, so we don't want to be harming people, but if you're, you know, doing work as unto the Lord, I think that can be an act of worship. Now, what about living in a state where decisions are being made that conflict with your values? Well, you have the opportunity to be salt and light. You have the opportunity to vote and to make sure that to the best of your ability, where you're doing your part in trying to elect officials that will align with Christian values. That's certainly not going to happen everywhere, and there's certain pockets of the country where clearly that's not happening. But ultimately, that decision to move out of that area, I think, is one that you need to consider prayerfully. And that may be, in fact, what the Lord leads you to do. But I don't think the idea that you would be working in a state where you have leaders that are making decisions that conflict with your values automatically would lead you to believe that you need to, you know, vacate that state with regard to gainful employment. You know, I think, you know, again, that idea of work is ordained by God. And, you know, whether he keeps you there to be an influence and a witness for him or moves you somewhere else, I think is ultimately a question you need to ask him on your knees. One of the great things, though, that we talk about all the time here is the opportunity beyond your work, but with your investments, to be aligned with your values there. And, you know, there is an opportunity now more than ever before to select investment choices that are in fact aligned with your Christian values and convictions. And so that might be another area that you'd want to look at as you deploy capital, whatever God has entrusted to you and you invest it. Take a look at the holdings that you have and see if those are in fact aligned with your values. And if not, you can make a change there. And on our website at faithfi.com, we'd be delighted to provide you some resources to explore those a bit further. I hope that's helpful. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000. 7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today as we tackle your financial calls and questions. Let me take an email or two. We love to hear from you when you write to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Paul writes and says, I heard Rob speak about having title insurance for your home instead of title fraud insurance. Can you recommend companies for that, please? Thank you. Paul, we don't make recommendations for specific companies. However, title insurance is often just about in every situation you would get that through the attorney's office or title company where you closed on the purchase of your home, and they would provide a list of companies they recommend for title insurance in your area. So if you don't have title insurance, you could reach out to the closing agent of your home or another title company in your area. They could absolutely give you some names. Andy writes to us, I have a question. There's so much talk about digital currency and things of that sort. Is this a sign of the end times, or is it all blown up to scare people? Andy, it's a great question. It's definitely an element. There's elements of fear that are kind of running wild in this area of digital currency. Now, keep in mind, I am not a fan of a central bank digital currency. I think it will lead to significant government overreach, and they would have control over transactions and insight into our financial transactions in a way that would not be good. And that's why there's a lot of folks in Congress that are very concerned about the development of a CBDC. But it will take Congress to put this in place. Congress has power over currency decisions, and I would say they're not likely to approve a digital currency anytime soon. People are confusing the Federal Reserve's new FedNow instant payment platform that's starting in July with a digital currency. The FedNow program doesn't create currency. It just facilitates electronic payments. And the feature is that it allows for them 24/7. Right now, electronic payment systems in this country shut down over the weekends, and FedNow is going to facilitate commerce 24/7, but it has no element of it that creates a new currency. And a lot of folks think that coming in July, all of a sudden our paper dollars are going to be worthless and we will have moved in this country to a digital currency. That's just not the case. So something certainly to keep an eye on. We will continue to watch it here and report on it as things progress. But at least at this point, it's still a long way off. There is much debate that will happen before we get anywhere close to having a central bank digital currency in this country. All right, the number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, we've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. By the way, in the news today, more Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, according to a new report by Lending Club. The report shows that 61% of adults say they're stretched too thin financially these days. Surprisingly, income doesn't have much to do with this, as more high earners say they're feeling the strain. And if you can believe it, 49% of those earning more than $100,000 a year say they're living paycheck to paycheck as well. It seems like this perhaps is a self-inflicted wound, and it's a lesson that we all need to live on a budget. No one is exempt from that idea. We've got to watch our spending. We've got to have an emergency fund in place. Spending less than you earn is the key to every financial success. All right, back to the phones we go. By the way, lines are open, 800-525-7000 to Mississippi. Donald, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
I had a question. I had a stroke like about 2018, and I've been in my house about 19 years. What could I do to add to my payment to where I can pay my house off early? Because I wanted to have it paid off, but I had a stroke. Like I said, I was out of work for 5 years, and I just went back into the workforce.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of questions, Donald. First of all, do you have an emergency fund? Do you have some savings right now that's liquid?
Well, I had to use that while I was off because my insurance and stuff didn't back me up when I had stroke. Okay. So I have very little in it now.
Okay. So the first thing I would do before I focused on paying down the mortgage more quickly, I mean, certainly keep your payment current, but before I'd start accelerating that payoff, I'd build that emergency fund back up. That situation that you had there with your health is a perfect example of why you need that. It was there for you when you you know, were out of work and you needed to cover your bills. And that's exactly why we have an emergency fund. So I think I would take every bit of surplus you have right now and build that back up to at least 3 months' expenses, preferably six. At that point, you can absolutely prepay the mortgage at any time. Very few mortgages these days have any prepayment penalties. So you would just want to send an extra amount over and above that payment, whether you do that a couple of times a year or every month. The key is just make sure that you talk to your mortgage servicer about how they want that so that it's notated that it goes directly to principal, and then follow up either electronically or on your paper statement to make sure that it was applied to the principal. Thanks for your call, sir. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, live from Orlando at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. Delighted to be here with so many folks doing incredible work in broadcast and podcasting and proclaiming the name of Jesus literally to the ends of the earth. And this is a treat to be here. It's a wonderful gathering each year of so many folks that are really just passionate about leveraging media, this incredible platform, to share the love of Christ. And we're excited to be a part of it here at American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got room for maybe one or two between now and the end of the program. If you have a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Dwayne. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Dwayne. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sorry.
Okay, great. Go right ahead.
I have a question. I've got about $400,000 in a asset mark account. My broker put it in. I'm not real familiar with what it is, but a lot of the stock companies I'm not real happy with as far as their morals and all that. And so if it's a possibility of switching that to like a Timothy fund or something else that would be more biblically based, and how you go about doing it.
Yeah, you absolutely can. So AssetMark is a platform. It's an independent provider of investment offerings for advisors. And so often a financial advisor might use AssetMark to do their asset allocation and build your portfolio. Now, to your point, if you really develop convictions around how you want to invest and you see companies in those portfolios that are misaligned with your values, well, you absolutely can roll it out and move it to another platform so that you can invest in faith-based investing companies. And Timothy Plan would be a great one. Now, how do you go about that? Well, I think the first choice you have to make is, do you want to manage this yourself? And if you did, you could go direct to Timothy. So you could contact the Timothy Plan. They would tell you where to set up the account, and you could, you know, just move all of the money into several of their mutual funds. If you wanted an advisor to help kind of put all of that together, where you would let the advisor know, you know, what your goals and objectives are and what you're trying to accomplish in your investments, and talking through how you want to align your faith with those investments so that that advisor could then really help you build that portfolio that might include Timothy and maybe several other faith-based investing companies, you know, to build out that portfolio. That would be the other way to go. Which sounds like the better fit for you? Do you want to go direct, or would you like to have an advisor involved, but one who understood the opportunities?
An advisor involved would be better. Now, I'm assuming they would have to sell some of the stocks, and then they would reinvest those in more Christian-based companies. Is that correct?
They would, yeah. So they'd evaluate what you have, and then in a way that makes sense, just where the market is, and from a tax standpoint, they would begin to liquidate those holdings and reinvest you in other investments, either through, in order to apply faith-based investing screens, you'd either go direct to one of the fund families like Timothy or Eventide or, you know, One Ascent, or they could do direct indexing, which is basically where you buy indexes, but you're able to select individual companies that you'd eliminate from those indexes because they, you know, happen to be misaligned with your values. Either approach could be taken, but the advisor would handle the selling of your current holdings and the deployment of that capital in other investments that are more aligned with your values.
Okay. Yeah. Is there any other company you would recommend besides Timothy, or are you, I mean, I know you guys talk about them a lot. Is that who you'd
recommend? Timothy's great. You could find a list of all of the faith-based investing funds at, let me give you a website. It's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That will give you a listing of some of the more well-known faith-based investing fund families for you to explore. But if you want an advisor who could help you put all of this together and implement a faith-based investing strategy, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So you would go to our website, okay, faithfi.com, and just click Find a CKA. And you could interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit. Make sure you let them know that that's the type of investment strategy you're looking for, and they can put it all together for you.
Super. Thank you very much. You have a
all right
day.
Well, thanks, Dwayne. We appreciate you calling. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Dale. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I appreciate your answer on the digital currency, but a corollary to that is cashless society. Yeah. And I don't know whether what the likelihood is of the government trying to force us into that. Is that and if they did try to force that, would they like penalize businesses who took cash or forbid businesses to take cash? Or how do you see that all unfolding?
Yeah, you know, at this point, there's not any plans, even in some of the research that's come out, which is really the stage that we're in right now. The Biden administration commissioned many government departments and agencies to begin to look at this. And there's been a series of white papers that have been written about the benefits of a central bank digital currency, where essentially, instead of running through a bank, you know, you would actually, all the transactions would run through the central bank, the Federal Reserve, which gives the government insight into every transaction. And conceivably, they could even limit transactions based on social criteria. And that kind of breach of privacy and control is what a lot of folks are very concerned about, including a lot of congressmen and women. So, you know, that's why I think this is, you know, we're still a long way off from this. If we ever see it come to pass, we've seen some states get into the mix. The state of Florida has banned digital currencies. They don't comply with their uniform commercial code. So they've kind of taken a stance on this. And so are several other states that are following suit. There's not plans, even if we get one, to eliminate a paper currency, although anything is possible. And so we could get to the place where, you know, if we were to have this, they just say, listen, because of the speed of transactions, because of the efficiency and security of the digital currency and the you know, prevention of money laundering and theft and crime, you know, it's got to all be digital and electronic. And obviously that would be really a difficult place for us to find ourselves, because, again, they would know where the money is, they would be able to impose rules, and they would be able to limit transactions. So at this point, it's still in somewhat of a research and discussion phase. We will have really healthy debate in Congress before this goes anywhere beyond where it is today, and it really there's nothing imminent right now that would be happening. I think we're years away from something happening. But could there be an elimination of paper currency? Sure, that's possible, but that's not being discussed right now.
Okay. And on the way to elimination might be even devaluation of paper currency in relationship to digital currency.
Well, but what we're talking about with a central bank digital currency is a digital dollar. So it's not a new currency. This would be just a digital form of the current U.S. dollar. So any devaluing of our currency is going to happen both for the paper currency and the digital currency as we continue to print money. So we've got we've got plenty of headwinds that we've got to deal with down the road as we think about all of this. And we need to pray for godly leaders that will seek God's wisdom as they navigate this. But what we're talking about is not a new currency at this point, at least with regard to the CBDC that's being discussed.
Okay. Well, you have encouraged me, and I thank you for your answer.
All right, Dale. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, man, we've covered a lot of ground today. You know, as we step back and we look at all of these issues, whether it's a central bank digital currency or buying a house or buying a car or giving generously, you know, we want to put all of that under the lordship of Christ. Here's what we recognize is that money has the ability to compete with God for first position. You remember in Scripture it says you cannot serve both God and money. And so we need to squarely place our trust in the Lord. He is our provider. He will never abdicate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. And He can be trusted. Our role then is faithfulness. We want to be faithful to what God has entrusted to us, operating according to a biblical worldview, holding what He's given us loosely, giving it generously, saving it appropriately. And when we do, I believe we can experience God's best. We have to be on our guard, though, against the fear trap. Getting into the what-if games, I think, can lead us down a road away from trust in God and toward fear. And we can get to a place where we try to depend upon ourselves and what we've accumulated. Now, we need to be wise and even shrewd with regard to how we manage God's money, but we can't get to a place where we're depending on ourselves. We need to ultimately depend in Him. And here's the reality, folks, is that our money is not only a tool, it's a testimony to the world. The way we handle God's money, especially in uncertain times, is a clear testimony to the world that our trust is in Creator God, the creator and maker of everything. And when we do that, I believe we can be a witness even through the way we handle our money. The key is We want to put God right there at the center of everything and be asking him how we should manage his resources. You see, a steward understands the heart of the master, and when he or she does, then they can handle the master's resources accordingly. That's our goal as we manage God's money each day. Hey, thanks for being along with us. We're so grateful for all the questions and for your comments and kind remarks and for your emails as well. Let me say thank you to my team, Adam Suddeth, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. For live from Orlando, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.